For me this morning. I feel for my sister Brittany. Anytime I'm going to sing a song, I can see that looking around like, oh no. Brother Daniel's going to try to sing. I'll tell you what, I love to be a Christian. I love to be in the house of the Lord. And you know, I've got the Lord with me every day. And I'm thankful for that when I'm walking and whether I'm working or where I'm at. But I love it and I love it being around my family. Because they've got the presence of the Lord on them. And I love that, but I even love it even more when I come to church. And I've got more brothers and sisters that have got that same fire, and they're putting their fire with us. I'm going to tell you something. This is real. When Brother Tony was singing a song, I Claim the Blood, the old rugged cross, and we're singing those songs. I know you know what I'm talking about. If you have an experience in the Lord, you do, that there's a fire on the inside of you that it's fighting. And it's struggling. It's going through this life, and it's pushing this humanity out of the way. And every time we sing those songs, we're singing it all like the world sings it. It's a different way of singing it. You know, I used to sing Amazing Grace, the parts that I knew before I gave my heart to the Lord. But when I gave my heart to God, when I met Him, and God changed me, it was a different song after that. When I said, I was lost, but now I'm fine. I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. I'm like, God, this is me. Amen? And that's the way it is with a Christian. I want you to go in your Bibles, if you don't mind, and I will tell you, warn my media operator in advance that I do have a lot of scriptures. This has probably been my most fun, enjoyable study that I've ever done with this. And I started writing the scriptures down after I was like, oh my, that's quite a few scriptures, damn it. But so let's just get right into it. Let's dive into it and see exactly what God has for us. We'll go to Psalms chapter 31, and we're going to read verses 23 and 24. And the thought that I feel the Lord has laid on us to put this morning is, put your helmet on.
Amen.
Put your helmet on. Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. And let's just go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. And I'm a bit nervous this morning, Lord, because I know this is a wonderful thought that you've given me, Lord. But the hard part for a man is to get it from us to the people. And present it in a way that they can understand it. Present it in a way that will produce the most benefit. Lord God, I know that you are one that knows the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. You know what we have need of. And Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves this morning. And we look to you with an expecting heart. And said, Lord, give us your word this morning. Break bread with us today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Love the Lord, all you saints. He will preserve the faithful. And He shall strengthen our heart, the heart of the one whose hope is in the Lord. And He will plentifully reward the proud doer. Not someone that's going to serve God halfway. Not someone that's just going to hear the word. But it's going to be the one that will wholly commit their heart to God. Do you want God to plentifully bless your life? Serve God with a proud heart. Walk like a child of a king. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 2. By this we know that we love the, that, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous to us. It's not grievous to me to be a Christian.
Right.
It's not grievous to me to say, well, I've got to live the Word of God. It's not grievous. It's a wonderful thing.
Right.
It's grievous if I don't do the commandments.
Right.
Amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Go to Galatians 1, verses 16 through 18. To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately, this is talking about Paul, he said, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither when I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia, and I returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Paul did not hear this, see this great light, and say, okay, I'm going to go to the highlight ministers of the message, and I want them to tell me this truth because I'm going to go preach the world on fire. Paul didn't do that. You know, a lot of people get the first dose of the Holy Ghost, they say, all right, I'm going to go get this done. I'll tell you what, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I was full of zeal, but I didn't have a lick of wisdom. I had all kinds of fire. I want to tell everybody. Run and tell everybody. And then I got there. What am I going to tell them? Well, I didn't know. God's good. I feel great. But that's not going to get anybody anywhere. Paul learned the first lesson. First thing he did, I got to get alone with God. I got to get to God, alone with God, and let God give me this revelation to myself. I've got to meet God. I've got to study myself to show myself approved. I'm going to get alone with God. You want to get victory in your life? Get alone with God. Brother Tony, you hit it many times last week. You're like, golly, Brother Tony, that's good. Get alone with God, because the devil will fight so hard to keep you from doing that. It was a physical battleground that Paul stepped on. And Paul did not run to Jerusalem to ask what the apostles thought about it. Paul went down to Arabia and got alone with God. And after he was given the revelation by God, he went down and he spoke to Peter. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the spirit and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, he said, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We should pray for our ministry. God, help the ministry that I'm under, that they can receive the mystery of God and that they can preach it to me boldly in a way that I can understand it. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Don't try to be strong in your own might. We live in the most demonic world on this earth, and we must wear the whole armor of God. But the major one I want to talk to you about is the helmet of salvation. The battleground for the believer is in the mind. And in the beginning, Lucifer felt by allowing his mind to make him to be in a position where he wanted to be worshipped just like God was. Now I want you to think about something. When Lucifer fell, it wasn't because he seen a whiskey bottle going down the road. He says, you know what, I think I'll get me some whiskey. He wasn't looking at that, and he saw a billboard going by down the road of heaven and said, oh my, I fell to adultery. It wasn't these ridiculous. He didn't hear rock and roll music and say, you know what, I'm going to fall to rock and roll music. It wasn't that. What was it that Lucifer fell by? He had a desire to be worshipped like God. What caused him to fall is he did not want to stay in the position that God called him to. And I'm here to tell you today, that's exactly the way Satan will get the believer today. Not the believer, he'll try. The people today is to cause you to get out of your position. And he'll cause you, when you're out of your position, you will not be victorious. If you are out of your position and you want to be something higher, it's not going to work. You will fail. Amen?
Right.
If you want to, if you're trying to be lower, you will fail. God has called you here. If you want to be victorious, you can't be over here. You've got to be in the position that God has called you to.
Amen.
He didn't have a helmet of salvation. That's still the way men fall today, is trying to get a different position.
When Moses was leading the children of Israel, Dathan and Korah rose up and said, "You're not the only one God speaks to. You're taking too much upon yourself, Moses. You're not the only one God speaks to. Oh my, the devil will move on it." That minister sure thinks he's something. He thinks he can get in my tater patch and talk about those things. You think God, you're the only one God talks to? I don't need you to tell me this. They don't want that authority. They don't want that respect. It's not the man you respect. It's the office, the gift that God put in his life. And people don't want this. You don't tell me how to do that. The God sent a provided way, and he brought a prophet in this day and brought a message in this day. And people say, "You think you're the only one God speaks to? You think you're the only holy one? Can't God speak to all of us? Ain't I filled with the Holy Ghost? Haven't I spoken in tongues? Haven't I prayed, raised the dead? Haven't I prayed for people? Haven't I done these wonders?" You think God won't do those things in people's lives? But God had a provided way. That he had a prophet that he was going to come down with a message, and that was going to bring you the victorious way. But you had to receive God's provided way.
Right.
If you had God's helmet of salvation, you would not do that. If you had God's helmet of salvation, you say, "God, thank you for your provided way. God, thank you because you've given this way, because I want to walk in your ways, Lord. Help me to put my helmet of salvation on." Dathan and Korah, they become arrogant and didn't think that they needed a prophet. And same thing today, people say that they don't need a prophet or a message. And a lot of people today don't think they need a fivefold ministry. It's the same spirit that was on Dathan and Korah.
Right.
It's the exact same spirit. And I want you to listen to me, young people. If a spirit will cause you to try to be rebellious to your parents, it causes you to be rebellious to your pastor, it's the same spirit that's on Dathan and Korah. It will cause you to where you will want to go. You will reject authority. I always hate it when I seen kids that were this tall, and they would talk bad until mom and daddy showed up, and people laugh about it, make videos of it. I said, "Don't you realize what you're doing to that poor child?" Because you know what's going to happen when that child keeps doing that? As they keep getting older and older and older and older again, they'll say, "Shut up to the police officer. Shut up to this. Shut up to this. Shut up to the preacher." Because when you reject authority from a young age and you don't stop that, it'll get worse. That's why whenever Saul was told, he said, "You kill everything with breath." And when God told him, "You go and you kill everything with breath." But Saul didn't do that. Saul killed the big ones. He kept the small ones. He said, "These are for the Lord's sacrifices." God didn't say to do that. God said, "Kill everything with breath." Why? Because little ones turn into big ones.
Right.
Little problems turn into big problems. I'm going to tell you, there is a source this morning. And we've already sung about it. We've talked about it. There is a source this morning. If you find yourself and say, "Lord, what can I do?" And I was at work the other day. And I had to get away to eat some lunch. I normally bring my lunch, but I just needed to. I've had so many customers coming. It's just been overwhelming. I thank God for it. I'm not complaining. But I was at work. And I was like, "Oh my goodness, I'm stressed to my wits." I've got about five people talking to me at one time, talking about different deals, and I was just stressed to my wits, and I went and got me one of those Power Bowls from Taco Mile. I just love them. And I was coming back, I come to the stoplight, and I was thinking about these things, and the Lord spoke this to me. He said, if you were to walk in your position right now, if you were to say, "This is the ideal position of the field that you're in," what would you do? And what would you do differently? And I'm telling you what, it was like one of the best weapons I ever got, because I realized there's so many times I slack. If I was going to ask you this question, the same God, same thing God asked me, if you were to walk your position in life right now, your position, what would the perfect position be? And where are you at? I don't know about you, but I got a lot of cutting to do. If you were going to be this position, this is your job, okay? I'm trying to think of a job that no one does here. I don't want someone to pick on. I'm picking on you, okay? If you're Taco Bell, and you're working at Taco Bell, and your job is Taco Bell, and the ideal 100% position to fulfill that position, what is that position? What would you do? Because you would say, you would do this, you would do this, you would do this. Take that same concept when you look at your life as a husband, as a wife, as a daughter, as a son. In your position, the ideal, the 100% position God called you to, what is that position, and where are you at in that position? I'll tell you what, I could be a lot better husband. I could be a lot better father. I could be a lot better minister. I could be a lot better trustee. There's lots of things, if we be honest with ourselves, there's a lot of things that we could change. Is that right?
Yeah.
My wife says, "Amen." Preach it, brother.
There's things that we can all do to become better at what we do. Amen. It wasn't Moses that they were rejecting. It was God. Dathan and Korah, along with the followers that followed them, they were swallowed up by the earth. And I'm here to tell you, there's a rebellious, self-exalting spirit that's overtaken a lot of people. And they once walked with this message, and they have been swallowed up by about everything you could possibly think of. Right. To the point you can't tell the difference in them and the world. And I don't say that to be critical. I say that to be honest. Listen to what I'm saying. If you feel that devil trying to cause you to take something and take church and put church to the side just for a moment so you can do this, that is of the devil. That's right. If you ever have something inside you that's causing you, when you have a pull in your heart to pray and read your Bible, and you feel something that's causing you to say, you know, put that to the side, do this, do these other things first. I'm here to tell you that's the devil. You need to identify the voice of where that's coming from. Because I'm telling you what, the Lord will not take you away from His Word. Amen. We got to have the helmet of salvation. When you have that helmet, I'm talking about, I want you to imagine my helmet being on. I wish I could borrow one. That'd be really neat to, an astronaut helmet. I've got this astronaut helmet on. It's got the globe. Everybody see my helmet? I got the globe on there. And though I've got my astronaut helmet on, I don't smell what you're smelling. I'm not listening to the thing you're listening to. Because this astronaut helmet has special glasses on. And I'm only going to see what God wants me to see. It's got special earplugs on. I'm only going to hear what God wants me to hear. And as I've got my helmet of salvation on and I'm walking through this life, the most demonic age in the world. You want to wonder why it's a struggle to go? It's because we are walking in the most demonic age in the world. But I've got this one little receiver right on top of my helmet. And I'm going to put the mind of Christ. And it's a little bitty bottle. And God could give me the whole bottle where I never have to change it again. But I'd get lazy if I did that. And God knows that. So I've got one of those little bitty portable air tanks you see people packing around because they're smoking cigarettes. So don't that look really cool, them smoking cigarettes? Yeah, look at the end of it, carrying a bottle around with them. They got something on their nose. I don't say to be mean, it's honest. God ain't never called a Christian to smoke cigarettes. I'm here to tell you.
Right.
That's exactly right. God wanted you to smoke it, but a chimney on top of your head. But I've got this portable mind of Christ that I'm walking around with, and I have to refill it. And I'll hear a service that'll be preached, a preacher will preach on fire. He'll preach something I need to hear. I'm taking the hose from it. I'm filling my tank up. You try going very long. If you're going scuba diving, you're going under the water, you stay there for a little while, you'll be okay. But guess what's going to happen? Your tank's going to fill out. It's going to empty.
Right.
Then you got a little emergency tank. That's going to go empty. You can walk with God. You can go to a youth meeting. You can get that tank plumb filled up. I'm here to tell you, if you are not refilling that tank, you're going to die spiritually. You can have a fiery service when an evangelist comes through. He can break the world down. You've got a fire inside you. And you'll tell yourself, I'll never let this thing go. But what happens? You stop filling the tank. You've got to refill the tank. You've got to refill your experience. If I try to live off yesterday's experience, I'm going to get a wiggle tail experience.
Right.
You get stagnant water. When you get stagnant water, I've been overseas and I'll go over to all of it. I've been there. I've seen what a cistern looks like, and it's nasty. But when you have a cistern and it invites the wiggle tails, it invites all these things, if you're trying to live off yesterday's experience, you're going to get a wiggle tear experience. And you're going to start having things coming up in your life that you've never had problems with before. And the reason is you've got a habitation around you that's welcoming those things. I want to live so close to God to where they will either suck away from me or they'll get a hold of me. You say amen?
Amen.
I want to live so close to God that the people around me, they'll either grab a hold to what I've got and love it too, or they'll shuck away.
Right.
Amen. I want it to be whenever I'm at work, conduct myself in such a way, people will either love the message or walk away from me. Because tell you what, you cannot walk together unless you agree.
Yeah, that's right.
You cannot. People try to shuck up with the world, it won't work. You can do it for a little while, but eventually it's going to come to a point to where there is, listen to what I'm saying, there is
going to be a shucking. It will.
That's right.
And either you will be shucked with them, and they'll go away from you, or they're going to go. They're going to go with you where you're going. But you cannot. You're fooling yourself if you think you won't.
That's right.
You got to put yourself in the presence of God where you're hearing this word. I'm telling you what, I love this word so much. But you know what? You can have just the word, and all you got, where I can look at it and say, is there anything wrong with it? Well, no. But is it changing you? Are you being changed by what's happening? I don't want to just hear the word. I don't want to say, yeah, the message is right. I want the message to change me to where it's burning something inside me where it's baking the greenness out of me. And I'm here to tell you, there ain't nothing wrong with this message. But we've got to position ourselves in a way with our attitude and with our helmet of salvation in a way to where we are addressing that. That's the message right there. I want to be dead underneath it. Where I'm hearing this message. I'm hearing this word. Friends, I'm here to tell you something. If you're not going through a daily week and during the week, there's not something inside you groaning to get closer to God. If you don't feel something compelling you to pray, you don't feel there's something wrong with your experience.
Right.
Is that true? And people aren't doing it. People are going through this age, and there's nothing. There's nothing worried. They're just going like hunky-dory. Everything's fine. They don't even realize judgment is coming on the land, and they don't even care.
Man.
When this COVID-19 started happening, people were going to their home services at first. They would read their Bible at first. They would do things at first. Then what are they doing now? They don't even do that anymore. How many people this morning that were streaming just a couple weeks ago, and they have already let their candle burn out?
Yeah.
How many people that have said, oh yeah, I'm going to get close to God. Where are they at right now? Listen to what I'm saying. Mark what I'm saying. I'm here to tell you, they're going to start opening things up and watch people go right back to the same thing, the things that they were doing before, if not worse.
That's right.
God has given mercy upon the world to give you opportunity that everybody can have a moment of time where they can get alone with God, where they can seek God, get in the message, and do a reset spiritually where they can change things and say, God, from this day forth, I'm going to start walking close to you. From this day forth, I'm going to walk a new life. How many people did it for a couple of days and they've already stopped? I'm here to tell you, when peace comes, you watch and see if people don't go back to the same old thing they did.
That's right.
Women will start going in their bikinis. We're going out there. Whenever there ain't nobody should see you about that except your husband.
Right.
You might be as faithful to your husband as you possibly be, but I'm here to tell you, you put yourself like that and you cause a man to commit adultery, you are guilty of adultery with him.
Right.
Because you put yourself out there with him. And I'm here to tell you, brothers, any man that'll do the same thing, walk around in them shorts, and you wearing them little tank top shirts, you will stand the same judgment as she will. Because I tell you, it grieves my heart when I see a man that's walking around in shorts and tank tops. I'm thinking, how can you not have a conviction in your heart to do those things?
Right.
You know, women going around and putting paint all over their face and doing these things and say, ain't she beautiful? No. There's only one woman in the Bible that ever put that paint on her face, and that was Jezebel. And God fed her to the dogs.
Right.
I don't say that to be arrogant or mean. I'm here to tell you it's a sign. You have women that will keep bobbing their hair, cutting their hair, doing these things. What is it? Rejecting authority. They're saying, you ain't going to tell me how to do it. You go to talk to a woman nowadays and say, your husband's supposed to be the head of your house. Oh, boy. Like you took a hen and took a bucket of water and sprayed it all over her face. It would be just, I'm talking, fighting mad. You ever threw a bucket of water on a hen? I have. When I was younger, I threw that. But get mad. God forgive me. I was a little angry at times when I was younger. Anybody else ever done that? No. Amen. Brother Brent said, you know what? I've preached this thing. He said it gets 10 times worse every time I come back. Word's been given to us. And trust me, this is just like what I said a while back, brushing your hair. If you ain't got no tangles, just say praise God. But if you do, hold still. Let me finish. Let the Lord get done with you. Amen?
Right.
God said, God gave them the children of Israel. He'd given them manna, fresh manna every day. God would give it to them. Their shoes would never go out. And God had it provided the way. I'm going to give you fresh manna every day. But don't you be trying to hold on to yesterday. You take today's manna and you rejoice. You say, God, I thank you for my bread today. Thank you for it, Lord. And you eat that, but don't hold on to yesterday's. Because yesterday's will be worm eaten up. I'm here to tell you, yesterday's experience will not work. You could have had an absolute revival days past. What's that doing for you today? Painted fire ain't going to work. We can look at Brother Tony's fire, it ain't going to work. Brother Tim's fire's not going to work. I need Brother Daniel's fire. Amen? I need a fire to where if I'm taken off the scene, I want to be. If God takes me off the scene today, my family will keep marching right forward. Because they're not looking at me. I mean, I want them to look at me, but you understand what I'm saying? They follow me as I follow Christ. So if I'm taken off the scene, my kids, my wife, don't miss a beat. Congregation doesn't miss a beat. You keep marching. I like that when Paul said, "What I have learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content." Brother Tim's back here, his arm barely raise his arms up, but you know what that brother does? If he can't raise this arm, you know what he does? He raises the other arm. No matter what state I'm in, I'm going to be content. I'm going to praise God.
Amen.
God takes that way. You know what he's going to do? Amen? Whatever he's got, he's going to use to praise the Lord. My brother James Miller is sitting in his wheelchair. I say his wheelchair, that wheelchair. It's not his. That wheelchair. And the song goes on. You know what that brother does? When he first started? And he's sitting in that chair. Hands shaking, sweat coming off of it. He said, if there's strength inside this body, I'm going to praise God.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, whatever you've got inside your life, the position God has called you to, put that helmet of salvation on, and you say, you know what? One thing I can do, I can sing. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to sing to the Lord. God, come on in the scene of this service. You're good for maybe picking a guitar. It may be praying. But you fulfill that position to the T and don't slack on it.
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
You know, if we got a job doing this, we gave the kids jobs. Thomas said, you go through here, this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. You hang the plywood, you're shooting a screw. You do this. You do this. You do this. The first day we didn't do that, and we were not very effective. A lot of effort. Not much production. I mean, there was a little production. You know what I'm saying? But whenever we gave everybody a position, and we said, you're doing this. You're the screw man. You're the drill man. You do this. You do that. When we did that, what was it? Everybody was in their position. But then I was the saw. I was the guy, because Brother Matthew was out at that time, I was the guy cutting the holes in the... Well, you can't see it now. Thank you, Brother Tony. I appreciate that. Well, I didn't tell you what happened. What are you laughing for? Amen. The more you can be in your position, the better you're going to be. I probably should not have had that thing in my hand. But then you see what happened. Amen. I'm just so glad the Lord can fix our mistakes.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tony. God said you only take your manna for today, because to eat yesterday's is not going to work. And I'm going to get to a quote what Brother Brenham said. Brother Brenham says this. He says, notice the manna again, for we leave it to be a perfect type. Notice this manna, for we leave it to be a perfect type, a very perfect type of the Holy Ghost. Remember that manna fell every night. And they had to get a new supply every day. Is that right? If it is, say amen. All right? If they kept some over, Wiggletail's got to it. And that's what's the matter with a whole lot of Pentecostal experiences today. They're depending on testifying something that happened 2 or 3 years ago. Them experiences get Wiggletails. Why not now? Hallelujah. Get a new, fresh one. That's right. Every day. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. There they are, eating manna every night. Now notice, a type of the Holy Ghost. It never come up. Some priest never come to give it to them. Some preacher never baptized them into it. But it come from above, and it come from God. We have a responsibility to get up and go get the manna daily. God is still breaking bread for his children. Get up
and go get your manna. You need healing today? Eat some manna. You need the Holy Ghost? Eat some manna. You need deliverance? Eat some manna. You need to be fortified? Eat some manna. Living off of yesterday's experience welcomes a wiggle-tail experience. Amen. I'm going to skip down a second. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And go to Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And one more scripture, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you be a proud doer of the word of God, God will plentifully reward you. Not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Where I'm hearing what the preacher's saying. I'm hearing what the prophet's saying. Trust me, I walk this walk just like you do. I know what it's like to go through a phase in life where you listen to the message, a little message on where you're going, but are you really listening to the message? I know what it's like to go through a phase where you're hearing the pastor preach, you're hearing the preacher preach, but are you really hearing the preacher preach? Because that brother, Tony, you know what I'm talking about. That brother can preach word for word, verbatim, the same things, these certain things.
And a traveling minister can come through
and say the exact same words. Mm-hmm. Shake his fist the exact same direction. It's real easy to say, why don't our preacher preach like that? Why don't our preacher preach a message like that? Why don't he do those things? If he'd go back and listen to the tape again, he did. He did say the same thing. I actually like that better. You know why? Because he's a teacher. He can go deeper into things than what other people can do. Evangelists can hit the hot spots. That's what I can do. I can hit the hot spots and let Brother Tony come back and he can really dig into it. Amen. You can hear the message, but are you really hearing the message? You ever talk to somebody and you can tell they're not listening to a word you're saying? Uh-huh.
You're not listening to a word I'm saying.
Amen. I'm so thankful that God is patient with me. Amen. Patient with his people. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
We're talking about, I want you to think about, I'm talking about, put on your helmet. God's given you all these warnings of you need to cast down these imaginations. You need to cast these things. Why is God telling you? Because they are going to come. God will put thoughts in your mind and you're like, why in the world would I think something like that? Because that was not your thought. But if you sit there and hold on to that thought, you'll start walking right toward it. That's exactly right. You'll have a, you can have a, see a spout between another spouse and you'll see them criticize one another. I can't say this so clearly. It matters who we hang around, and it matters what we think about.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Because if you try to hang around a worldly friend, guess what will happen? You will start to be worldly.
Right.
You can tell yourself, you can try to fool yourself of saying, you know what, it doesn't matter. I know they're not believers at all. They don't believe the message. I know that, but we're friends. And you can be nice to them, but listen to what I'm saying. You keep walking with them, you'll start walking right with them. Because one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to shuck away from you, or you're going to shuck away from them, or you're going to start walking right with them. And you will start reasoning with your mind. Once you get on the betting ground of reasoning, there ain't no limit how far the devil will take you. Once you start going down that slope, well, you know what? It don't really matter. Prophet didn't really, maybe he didn't quite understand what we're going through today. Maybe you know, just a little bit of a trim won't matter. Just a little bit of worldly music, it won't matter. Just a little bit. Daddy said, don't do this. Maybe he didn't really. Really? Daddy said, don't do it. Don't do it. If God said, don't do it, don't do it. Amen. Because, as I was saying to you, beginning with the way Lucifer got pulled away, it wasn't because he got pulled away for cigarettes. It wasn't because he did these things. It's because he rejected the position God called him to, and he wanted to be in a higher position than what God called him to. Amen. We need to humble ourselves before God.
Just a couple more scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But this is us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
You know, it breaks my heart when I see believers that have no peace. See believers that have no love. See believers that are like an old cactus. See believers that are just bitter. You can't hardly be around them because they're so bitter. They've always got something bad to say about somebody. I'm here to tell you, God has not called us to that. God has called us to a life of peace, love, joy, long-suffering. If I ask today, how many this week say, you know, I want some peace. I want some long-suffering. I want some joy in my life. Because God has called us to where we can have those things. God has called, it makes me, just something on the inside of me just fires and says, when I see somebody that don't have that peace, somebody that don't have that joy, somebody that don't have those things, because we can have those things. But let me show you how to do it. Walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Because when you are walking in the Spirit, you cannot do the things of the world. You can't.
That's right.
When you're walking in the Spirit, you can't be looking at those filthy websites.
That's right.
When you're walking in the Spirit, you can't be looking at those catalogs wearing paint all over their face. When you're walking in the Spirit, you can't be in there trying to cut your hair. That's not walking in the Spirit. I'm here to tell you, that's against the Word of God. But whenever you're walking in the Spirit and you're going through this life, you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know how you know you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit? If something stinks over that way, I'm not talking about you, Mary. I'm going right at it. If I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm going in the Spirit and something starts stinking that way, you know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start walking over this way.
Right.
Automatically. You know why? Because it stinks over there. I want to go that way. It stinks over there. You know why? Because I am walking in the Spirit. I am walking with God. And I start talking to somebody, and I feel bitterness coming and filth and world coming from him. You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start walking away. Because they stink. Not this kind of stink, but the worldly kind of stink. We need to walk in the Spirit to where I am sensitive to God. I am walking with a beat in my heart. I've got bubbling inside of my belly. I've got something on the inside of me. What is it? It's God working in my life. It's God speaking to my life. And all of a sudden, that little bubbler starts going a little low. And I'm not getting as bubbly as I once was. You know what I got to do? I need to refill my tank. I got to refill that oxygen tank of the Holy Ghost. And you know how you do that? It's where you, not rushed, not pressured, you push the things to the side that pressure you and say, you know what? These things don't matter. I'm taking this time and I'm getting before God. You imagine how God must feel when people just rush. Oh, Lord, help me this, help me this, help me this, help me this. I got to get going now. You imagine how God must feel about that. But whenever you can say, it does not matter, I'm pushing everything to the side. I'm stopping everything. Laundry needs to go, it can stop. Work needs to do this, it can stop. This has got to go, it's going to stop. I'm taking this time with God. And you get out and you get your manna. Don't wait for the preacher to bring it to you. You get your manna yourself on a daily walk to where you are getting your manna on a daily basis. To where you say, I am taking this time before God, and you kneel before God, and you pray and stay there till you talk to God. I can't tell you that. That's the one thing, friends, if the believer could work on that one thing, they'd be the most victorious people of the world. One thing, prayer. Well, you will work on that prayer life, because I'm telling you what, you can think you're okay. I'm going to testify on myself. I'm going to confess to myself. I can feel like I'm perfectly okay before God and feel like everything's right. But you know what happens when I get down and I'm kneeling and I'm praying to God and I'm talking to God? I'm not rushed. I'm not pressured. I've got things I got to do. Trust me, there's a lot of time I'm working 4 or 5 deals a day. All this pressure, people call me. I have to turn my phone on silent. I say, I am taking this time. God, this is your time. And start praying. And all of a sudden, I start seeing things coming out of me that I didn't even realize was there. I'll start praying, and I realized a bitterness was trying to come in my life, and I didn't even realize it. I start praying, oh, God, forgive me for that. I don't want those things. And the more you can get fluid in your prayer, the more successful you're going to be in this walk with God. Listen to me. The most important thing for a believer is your prayer life. And I'm saying, I'm putting you on the hot spot this morning. If you will acknowledge God and take it this way, listen to what I'm saying. If you're going all week long and you ain't truly praying to God, if you're going all week long and you're truly not seeking God, I'm here to tell you there's something wrong with your experience. Because there should be a groaning. Brother Tony talked about it last week about contractions taking place. Listen to what I'm saying. We're in an age, we're in a time right now, there should be some contractions. A woman can say she's pregnant all she wants to. She can say she's got it, I got it, I'm pregnant. You can say that all you want to, but if your diet don't change, and you don't start seeing some times, and you ain't come to a point where you're starting to feel contractions, there's something wrong with your experience. Because there should be something on the inside of you that's groaning, that's compulsing to get you closer to God. Something groaning within you to see a manifestation in your life. Amen. If you've got what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. There's something on the inside of you that's compelling you. What is it? We've got to have the helmet of salvation to where we are thinking on God. We are hearing His Word. It's the darkest age in the world. How in the world does a person think they can go through a darkest age in the world and not even pray and read your Bible? I'll tell you what, I can't even walk with that and hold my hand. No matter how good revival was yesterday, how's the revival in your heart today? And you know what revival is? Revival in the waters, it's stirring up. what's inside there. And when it stirs that up, you know what starts coming up? Trash. Comes all over the beach. I want God to get the trash out of my life. Get the trash out of my heart. Get the trash out of my thinking. One of the biggest things that keeps the people from getting closer to God is a stinky, rotten attitude. An attitude that you ain't going to tell me what to do. You can't tell me. I don't need to listen to you. I'm here to tell you that's the devil. I'm going to give you the advice that an old minister, he was an older man, he was in his 70s. When I was a young man, first started preaching, I asked him, I said, if you could give me any kind of advice, what would you give me as a Christian? He leaned back and did not speak immediately. He leaned back for a long time. And he leaned forward and had tears in his eyes. He looked at me, he said, humble yourself before God. He said, because if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. With my children, I love my children very much. I love them. I would literally do anything for them. I would literally give my life for them. And I would not hesitate a moment of it. But you know what? When we're going through, my kids learn at a young age, I'll say, just knock it off. I'll let it go by for a little bit. I said, knock it off. And a snap got a little louder. Third time's not going to be a snap. Third time, Daddy's going to take action, not because I want to, but because I love him. And I know that if I don't take action later on down the road, it's going to get worse. And listen to what I'm saying. God is trying to get a hold of the people's attention. And he said, stop it, stop it, stop it. But it's fixing to come to a point. God ain't going to do that. You think God won't whip your hind end to get you in line?
That's right.
He will do it. Listen to what I'm saying now. Listen to what I'm saying. Brother Branham went to the tire shop and talked to such and such man and started talking to him about God, about the things that Brother Branham would talk about because he being a believer. When you know what, you're a believer, you talk about certain things. You go around anywhere. Why do you talk about that? Because you're a believer. If you find yourself going through life and you don't have conversations like a believer, why are you not having conversations like a believer? Because I'll tell you what, you will talk about the things that's on your heart. Jesus even said, a man will speak from the abundance of his heart.
That's right.
Brother Brennan went to the tire shop, and Brother Brennan wasn't trying to do anything. He wasn't trying to look at anything. He wasn't trying to find fault in it. Brother Brennan was being a believer. Brother Brennan started talking about the Lord, and the man said, I don't even want to talk about those things. And then Brother Brennan left. He said he grieved his heart so bad. He said, I talked to his wife. He said, I talked to so-and-so, and he said, he don't even want to talk about God anymore. He said, surely he didn't mean that. I know he didn't mean that. He said, I'm going to go back and talk to him again. Brother Brennan went back and talked to him again. He said, brother, surely you didn't mean to talk about the things. He said, yes, I did. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it right now. Brother Brennan left. God took that man off the scene. Because God is not going to let his name be written in the dirt. When we take on the name of Jesus Christ, let's walk with pride with that. I love the scripture. It says, let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me narrate that for you. If I'm a scroller and I've got the scriptures and I'm going to write what I see, and I'm walking, they're writing what they see, and I'm walking, I'm doing my business, I'm doing my laundry, I'm being a father, I'm being a son, I'm being whatever avenue of life you're in, whatever position you're in life, I'm walking in that position. And as I'm going through the motions and living this life of the position I am, whether I'm a father, whether I'm a son, whether I'm a wife, no matter what it is, whatever your position is, they're right. Let the way I conduct myself be as it becomes the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I'm being a son, when I'm being a wife, when I'm being a daughter, whenever, whatever position I am, let me conduct myself in such a way that it can become the gospel of Jesus Christ. I ask you again, in that light, how much do we need to say, God, help me? How much do we need to say, God, help me walk better? Help me to walk more humble, God, because I'm short. I'm looking at the position that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm looking at myself. I'm way over here. God, help me, God. We're not saved by works, but I'm here to tell you, if you got the life on the inside, it will produce fruit. I can take a buzzard and put peacock feathers on him. That don't make him a peacock. But because the life on the inside is a peacock, and you give him the right nourishment, he will produce peacock feathers. I'm here to tell you, and a believer, because we're sheep. Sheep don't manufacture wool. Sheep don't do these things. You know what they do? They bear wool. They are living a life in this life, not trying to work something up, but there's something on the inside of that sheep that makes him love grass. There's something inside that sheep. He just has a diet for it. You imagine that sheep going through and just, oh my goodness, talking to Mr. Lamb, talking to Mrs. Lamb, saying, oh, you know what I'd love to have right now? Grass. Oh, that sounds good. Not the stringy type. Clover. I want some clover. And he said, all right, honey, which grass do you want? Do you want to go the straight grass or the clover grass? Make up your mind. You know? There's something inside that sheep that has a diet and appetite inside him. He wants grass. He wants clover. There's something on the inside of him. He's like, I gotta have it. And because he is feeding that hunger, he's feeding that diet on the inside. He's feeding the deep call to the deep. God is calling on the inside. God, if God's putting a pull in your heart to eat clover, brother and sister, get over and eat some clover. Get over there and start eating that clover. And then that great shepherd will come through there and he'll say, come over here. There's a turbulent water and you can't. Because that's exactly what's going on all around us right now, is turbulent water. Worry, stress, looking at the news of this going on, this going on, this going on. Turn every bit of that off. And listen to your pastor, listen to your shepherd. The Holy Spirit will come to you. He'll say, in the midst of all this turbulence, I'm going to put some still waters here. He'll put the rocks. Hebrews 13 and 8. Amen. He'll pick up the rocks and he'll put them around that turbulent water, and that sheep can go over there to the still water. Don't worry, don't fret, rest and drink the water that God's giving you. I'm here to tell you, we are not meant to live in a turbulent life where we're worried all the time, stressed all the time. You let a sheep do that, that sheep will be sickly. That sheep won't bear wool like it should. That sheep will, the hooks won't be looking right. He'll have all kinds of things wrong with him. And that sheep will go through thinking that he's the problem. That sheep can go through there and say, I'm the problem because I've got all these things. I'm the problem because I'm not producing the wool like everyone else. I'm the problem. But you know really what it is? The shepherd is way over there. And the sheep is way over here. And that sheep can go through there. Nothing wrong with the sheep. Other than he needs to get back with the shepherd. And I'm here to tell you, the shepherd is here this morning. Not Brother Daniel. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God. And he's saying, come over here to the still water. Come over here to the clover. Come over here and eat the manna. Because you can sit right in church and starve to death. And hear a message, there ain't a thing wrong with the message. But because you're still way over here, when God is calling you to the clover. I'm going to ask you something. Are you eating clover? Are you eating grass? Can I tell you, when a sheep eats clover, a sheep drinks water, he's got automatically going to say, you know what he says? Bah. You know why he does that? Because he's a sheep. I say that to tell you, there's nothing wrong with you individually. But you've got to get yourself under the shepherd's voice on a daily walk. Don't be a rebellious sheep. Don't be a sheep that keeps going the other direction. Because you know what will happen if you keep doing that? The shepherd keeps calling the sheep, come back over here, and he takes you back over to the fold. And sits you back over here, and then that sheep keeps going back over there. You know what? You know what the sheep will finally do, or the shepherd will do? Listen to what I'm saying. He will take that staff. At one time, that sheep would fall inside the little rocks, getting a little hole, and that shepherd come bail it out and pull him out with the hook on the staff. At one time, he would do that, and that sheep will say, my shepherd will just come save me. I can walk any way I want to. They'll bail me out. You know what happens a lot of times, I think, and I'm going to testify on myself. You know what one of the worst things parents do a lot of times? God will start to put a spanking on your child, and then whenever God's putting the spanking on the child, you bail him out. Is that true? God will put a spanking on somebody, and we try to get in front of the spanking. Oh, please don't hurt them. Please don't hurt them. Please don't hurt them. You know what it is? A lot of times, God has given them a spanking. Because he said, I told you, humble yourself and get before me. I told you to get in the Word of God. I told you to do these things. And you keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And we'll run over and try to build them out of it. That shepherd's got that curved end of that staff, and that sheep would rebel against his shepherd and go and get that hole in and going over things when the sheep shepherd told him, don't go over there, don't go over there, don't go over there. And that sheep would go through there, and every time that shepherd would go by and pick him up, carry him, rub his little ear, take him back over to the fold. And that sheep will go over there and say, you know, I'll go just like I did before. My shepherd will come get me. It's no problem. And he'll go into the world doing the things. He falls in that old hole. He'll say, oh, I'll just cry out to God now. God will help me. I know God told me to never come here in the first place, but I did it anyway. God will bail me out. And he hears the trampling of the footsteps. He hears
the shepherd.
That's my shepherd. He's coming to bail me out again. It'll be just like before. He'll take me back over there. It'll be fine. But this time, the shepherd reaches down. He pulls him out. And though we grieve that shepherd so much, more than anything, he said, I'm doing this for your own good. Because you aren't listening to me. There could have been a lion that could have got you right there, and that would have been the end of your life. Because I love you so much, he'll take that staff that he once used to pull him out of that pit with. He takes it on the other end. He smacks that sheep on the leg and breaks his little leg. And that little sheep, like, oh my goodness, why would you do that? Why would you allow this to happen to me? Why would you cause me to have a broken leg? You're supposed to save me. You're supposed to help me. I called out to you. I said, God, help me. But instead, I've got a broken leg. And I can't even walk now. Look what you've done to me. And he picks that sheep up and puts him on his shoulders. And he starts walking. And then that sheep began to know his shepherd as a way that he had never known him before. As a comforter. And then when he was going through there and his leg would hurt so much, and he realized how much he depends on that shepherd to help him. And whenever when he did that, listen to what I'm saying, it developed a relationship between that shepherd and that sheep that was never, ever before. It had never been forgotten. When you're going through a hard trial in your life, you'll feel the pressure in your heart where you just got to cry out to God. Listen to me, that's the closest you can ever get to God during that time. That's exactly right. When my wife and I, we lost one of our baby's members. I'm going to tell you something. That was the worst pain I've ever felt in my entire life. She'd be pregnant with that baby, and I remember we were in the waiting room, and I was testifying inside the waiting room, and I said, my God's a healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will meet us. God's going to meet the need. You watch and see. God's going to meet the need. Watch and see. I was testifying. I was going through all those things, and the nurses said, no, it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. My mom wasn't there. My dad wasn't there. Nobody was there. Nobody even from the church was there. It was just us there. We're like, where is everybody? Where's the people that's supposed to care about what we're going through? There's nobody. But we kept testifying, God is going to come on the scene. God's going to heal this baby. You watch. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. You watch and see. And I remember sitting there holding my hand on my wife's hand, and we'd hear the little heartbeat going, boom, 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 boom. I'm going to tell you something. During that moment of my life, I felt more alone than I ever felt in my entire life. I was testifying with my mouth, God's going to meet this need. God is going to move on the scene for us. You watch and see, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. And then I had to look at them people, and I don't know what happened. I don't know. My wife looked at me and said, why would God do that? I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. If years down the road, I still tell you, I don't know. I don't know. From my intellectual thinking, I would look at that and I'd see God come down in the power of the Holy Ghost and cause for healing to the baby, and everybody in the hospital would be saved in my intellectual thinking. But God is in control. And that darkest moment of my time right there, I'm here to tell you something. It's easy to praise God when you're on the mountaintops and you hear God, you see God meeting your needs, when you see the thing, it's easy to praise God. But I'm here to tell you something. Whenever you're giving all the faith that you know to give, and you're giving all the diligence you know to give, and you still don't see it happen, the devil had a perfect opportune time for me to walk away right then and have a hard heart toward God. But there was something on the inside that anchored to that and said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I have learned that whatever state that I'm in, to be content. That I'll say, "God, I don't understand why this happened the way it happened. I don't know. But I want to say that you are still a healer. You are still a savior. You are still a comforter." I'm here to tell you something. That day of the judgment, people are not going to be able to stand and say, "I would have served God, but because I served God until I lost our baby. And from that day forth, I couldn't serve anymore." I don't say this to put myself on his pedestal, but he's going to be able to say, "Come here. Stand right here." This was a man that went through and testified through the hospital that I was going to heal him. And the healing didn't take place, and he still served God. No matter what circumstance it is in your life, why did God put you through the things you do? Sometimes it's because it's a testimony to the world. Somebody else can say, "I would have served God, but I hurt my back and I couldn't go to church. I would have done it, but I hurt my back. I couldn't do it. So that's why I'm in the condition I'm in." Brother Tim Lane, come here. Tim, stand right here. Not naturally, brother. You can if you want to. Come on. Brother Tim, stand right here. All these other people said, "I'm not going to do it. I can't. I would serve God, but I've got this going on. I would. But I can't. I can't do it because I've got this going on in my life." And Brother Tim is over here. He's doing all the faith that he knows to give. He's praying, doing all the things he knows to do. Testifying, "God's healed me. God's healed me." Doing these things. And he could get mad and say, "You know what? I'm not going to church. I'm not going to serve a God that won't do those things." But what is it? Something on the inside of him is bubbling. Something on the inside of him says, "Put one more step forward. Put one more step forward. Put one more step forward." And he'll stand up there. And every person that tries to use a lame excuse of using, "I would have done it because of that," Brother Tim will have to stand there and he won't have to say a single word. Because his life will do all the talking. Young girls going through there, putting the paint all over their face, doing the things that they're doing. They say, "Well, I would have done it, but I was living in the darkest age. That's why I'm in the situation I'm in." Sister, come here. Stand here. She won't have to say a single word. Because the position that she had been called to in this life, though she had the temptations to cut her hair, though she had the temptations to put the paint on her face, though she had the temptation to do all these things, there's something on the inside of her that calls her to walk in the Spirit. And that temptation to go that route, it stunk. And she walked away. One of the most wonderful stories I'd ever heard is how a shepherd could lead the sheep right through the marketplace. And he'd lead them right through here, and there'd be lettuce, there'd be this, there'd be that, there'd be this. And you look at that and you say, "That's going to be havoc." You watch that shepherd bring that sheep all through that. Them sheep are going to go crazy all over all these vegetables and all these things. That's going to be absolute havoc. But you know what? Those sheep were looking at their shepherd. And that shepherd, as he was going through there, and as he went through his curb, away from everything, every step that shepherd took, those sheep took. They were in tune with their shepherd. Now, if their shepherd would have said, "Eat," they would have eaten. Amen? You imagine you put your sisters putting a big steak in front of me and my brothers? You don't have to tell us eat. You say, "Hold on a little bit, there's more." You don't have to eat all of it. When you put that T-bone steak medium well with a baked loaded potato with no sour cream, you put that inside that, and I'm telling you, you put that sour cream, you probably just about keep it. You already eat no sour cream. There's one thing about it. One thing I do know, that will not, I don't see how that could ever be on the other side. Be a lot of things, but not no sour cream. But you can put that meat right in front of us. You don't have to beg us to eat. You don't have to say, "Come on, eat the steak. Eat the steak. Come on." You don't have to do that. Why? Because there is a hunger on the inside of us. And because there's a hunger, we're automatically going to eat. And I'm here to tell you, listen to what I'm saying. If you don't catch anything, catch what I'm saying right now. God has got a message for us, a bread for us. And he shouldn't be having to take you and pat you on the hind end. Eat, 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 eat. All you got to do is put that food right in front of us. And we're going to eat. You know why? Because we're hungry. You want to get more out of the service? Listen to what I'm saying. You want to get more out of the service? Stop eating so much of the world. That's right.
Right.
Stop eating so much of the world and get your diet on the right thing.
Amen.
Because when you got your diet on a daily basis on the right thing, it goes right together. But if you're eating all this stuff over here, you know, I've been told this. I've never been to Africa. I've been told this. But, you know, a lot of their food, they would, before, and I'm not, probably not now, but before, you know, a lot of it, they would never eat, like, sugar. Because sugar would be, it runs the teeth and all this stuff. And they said, you give them something with sugar in, they'd get sick. Like, oh, that's nasty. I'm not eating that stuff. But I say that to show you this. Me and Brother Tony did this crazy thing. We went on a keto diet a long time ago, because I've been off of it for a long time, and it shows. But we had a keto diet where you pulled away from the sugar, and you don't eat sugar. And when you stay away from that sugar long enough, you get in ketosis. You start losing a lot of weight. You go from that state to eating sugar, and it's a shock. You put it in your mouth, you're like, oh, that's too much. How much sugar did you put in that sweet tea? Same as I always did. But this time it bothered me. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I weaned myself off the sugar. That's right. And the more we can wean ourselves off of the things of the world, off of the things of the world, the more this word will seem sweet to us. It'll taste good to us. Because we're feeding on the right thing. Amen. Let's all stand. It's hard to feed somebody that's already full. It says in the last days, people will be blind, naked, and wretched, and don't even know it. Luke Graham talked about it. He said, could you imagine a man being absolutely naked, walking down the street, and you try to put a coat on him, but he thinks he's cold? He said, I don't need anything. I've got a coat on. What are you thinking? He's naked, and he don't even know it. Amen. And I thank God. I believe that you guys are fed in the Word of God. Amen. Our musicians to come. I want to wear the helmet of salvation to where I am thinking on the right things. But I'm feeding on the right things. I'm keeping myself in the right environment of the right things and letting the Holy Ghost work in my mind. Thank you.
you as far as the thing that what I approached to you this morning. But I ask you to just humble before him. If the Lord's dealing with your heart on some of these things, you say, Brother Daniel, I've got to change some of these things. I don't know what to do about it. There's a shepherd here this morning that's ready to help. And I want to ask you, right with every head bowed, if there's anybody that wants to say, you know, I need prayer, Brother Daniel. There's a ministry right up front we're ready to pray for. Is there anybody that have need of prayer? Why don't you just come on forward and humble yourself before God. And you be sincere before God in your own approach and not half-heartedly. I'm talking your whole heart. Won't you talk to him this morning? And we'll ask the ministry to come and they're going to pray with you. We're asking everyone to be fervent before God. And let's talk to the shepherd this morning. Say, Lord God, I don't want you to have to break my leg. I don't want you to have to do these things, God. God, I'm willing right now. I'm humbling myself, God. And I'm willing to be led by you, Lord. Yourself before him right now and you talk to him. Don't depend on the preacher to pray. You pray to him. You seek God. You say, God, help me. I got to change, God. I cannot keep going the way I'm going, God. If you don't touch me, I'm going to die, God. Help me, Lord. Get desperate before God and let God work with you. And God will. Let's just sing.
Finisher of our faith, oh God, and I ask you, Lord, fill her with your spirit, Jesus. Lord. Lord God, would you help her attitude, her mind, everything about her. Help her to put on that helmet of salvation this morning, Lord, and to think like you want her to think, to see what you want her to see. Bless her walk with you, Lord. You know she has need of it, her things in her life, oh God. Meet every need right now, Jesus. I ask you, Father, every need, Lord God. I humbly ask as your servant, oh God, with this precious sheep of God before you, Lord. Lord God, I ask you, Lord, help her see your mindful of her, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Sister, Lord, comes before you and she lays at your feet this morning, Lord. And Lord God, you know what she has need of, Lord. I ask you, Father, that you would break every chain in her life, oh God, that tries to bind her, Lord. Lord, you have called her to a position in this life, oh God, and the old devil will try to get her to turn to the left and to the right. But I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ, God, you take her, Lord God, by your voice, Lord, and call her back to the clover this morning, Lord God, to the still waters this morning, Lord God. I ask that that fruit of the Spirit would just bear out of her, oh God. You know what she has need of, Lord. I commit her to you, Lord God. I ask you, Jesus, bring a revival into her heart, her home, their life, oh God. Lord God, if they need healing, Lord God, break every chain this morning, Lord God, of unbelief, Lord. Lord God, I ask for revival in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I ask you to touch my precious brother, Lord, as he lays at your feet this morning, Lord God. He comes humbly to you, Lord. Oh God, we don't want to go in an attitude where you have to get rough with us, Lord, but we want to humble ourselves this morning, God, and say, help me, Lord. Lord, help me to walk the way you want me to walk in this hour, Lord God, because I can't do it myself, oh God. Lord God, help me with this appetite toward you, Lord. Well, he has such a hunger for prayer, oh God. A hunger for the word of God, Lord Jesus. Help my brother to rise to the position that you have called him to, Lord God. I ask you, Lord, walk the aisles of his heart, Lord. Open every door, every crevice, every crack, oh God. Lord, kill the spiders this morning, Lord God. Oh God, I ask you, Jesus, for a revival in his heart, Lord God. May the fire of the Holy Ghost come, Lord God. Lord, and burn in his life, oh God. Bring such a revival in his spirit, Lord God, that when he's in the work truck, Lord, he's at home, wherever he's at, help him to walk in the spirit, oh God. Lord Jesus, I ask in Jesus' name, Lord. I commit my brother to you, Lord. I ask you, Father. Lord God, bless his prayer life with you, Lord. Lord God, bless his family, oh God. I ask with your strong hands, Lord, you'll keep his family safe, oh God. Lord, in this dark age, Lord, help us rise to be the leader that you've called us to be in this hour, oh God. Help my brother in Jesus' name. We praise your name for me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith, God. And I ask you, Father, that you'll meet every need in this house this morning, Lord God. Lord, I ask you, walk the aisle, Lord God, and knock on every heart, oh God. Lord, give them a fresh opportunity in this window of a moment that we have right now with your presence being here, Lord God. Lord, let them not pass this opportunity, Lord God. Lord, from their seat, whether they're on the internet, wherever they are, oh God, right now, Lord, I ask that the power of your Holy Ghost, Lord, would bring a revival in our heart, Lord God. Oh God, I ask you, Jesus, that you bring healing into our body, Lord. I claim, I testify, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, oh God. Oh God, I ask you, Jesus, bring the Spirit of God into our life, Lord, as never before, Lord. Bring a fervency into us, Lord. We look unto you, Jesus. We praise your holy name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you for it, Jesus. Heal my heart and make me whole.
We as Christians shouldn't have turbulence in our life. You know, the devil fights you, whatever. But you know, if you enjoy an argument, there's something wrong.
That's right.
If you are willing to engage it, there's something wrong. You should always look for a way to get away from those things. But you know, there's a channel out on YouTube. Lord, forgive me forever. But it's Believer's Testimony. I think it started about 6 or 7 years ago. And it started, I think, with a testimony there from Darrell Ward, not yet daddy. But I went out and looked at some of the different testimonies out there, and it would be good for you to go watch those, because it's testimonies from people of how their lives have been touched, and their real lives, and their real testimonies, and they're accurate. And you can just see what God has done. But I noticed out there was a little short video clip there of Brother Lonnie Jenkins from many, many years ago. This was back when he still had a head full of hair, which if you didn't go very far back, you probably would never have known him to have hair, but he had quite a bit of hair. But there's just one little clip out there that I've seen, and my wife and I, we watched it. And I would recommend you go out and watch it. It's not very long, just a little short thing. But he talks in there how that if you will sanctify your life, you'll pull away from the world and you will walk with God in a sanctified life, many of the battles that you fight every day will disappear. Because lots of the battles that you have to fight is because you haven't sanctified yourself from the Word. Go listen to it. Because you'll find out that a lot of your battles are just simply results of the not being obedient. Things have happened. And you know, God is the God of those things. You know, He's the Lord of the harvest. He knows how to make you reap what you sow, both good and bad. You know, if you've done much gardening, you plant something out there in the garden, and sometimes you just get a little bit, and sometimes you what we call a bumper crop. Wasn't anything you did different, but the Lord of the harvest made the choice of what you was going to get. And that's the way it is in our lives. If you want to be blessed, you got to follow after these things that you heard this morning, and God will bless you. And so, you know, in this hour, we know that we are the children of God. This message has helped us to understand that in each one of us is the gene of God. And my son back there is my son. There's genetics in me and genetics in him that shows that he's my son, I'm his father. And there's nothing I could do. I could treat him so ill and never change that. And if his understanding is right, no matter what I would do, he would have to say, that's my daddy. He may have treated, he may have to say, my dad treated me terrible, but that's my daddy. And that's the thing is, we know that the life of God is in us, and that gene inside there cannot deny him, even if he makes us go through trials. And like Brother Daniel talked about, that having to sit there and look at those people in the eye and say, I don't know why God didn't come through. You know what? But that gene of God inside Brother Daniel cannot deny God. It cannot. As Brother Bram said, I could pray for sick, and if all of them died, I'd come back the next day and pray for the sick again. Because it's a promise of God. It's true. And no matter whether he runs over us with a bulldozer, he's still our father. He's still right. His word is still true. Just like the Hebrew children. Right? Whether or not he will save us, whether or not he will keep us out of this fire, we don't know. But our God is a... Nevertheless, we're not going to bow. See what I'm saying? And so that's the way we have to be. We have to just take that life that's inside us and go forward with it and say, you know what? His word is right. I'm going to stand by that word. And he's the Lord of the harvest, and he wants to give me a good crop. A good crop. And he says, no, he's still my God. Still my Father. Amen? So we believe that. And that's how we want to go, is believing him for the utmost. You know, God gives you the Holy Ghost for a reason. The scripture said you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Brother Ram talks about the dove. You know, a dove has something inside that cleanses itself, an oil that comes up from the inside. means he doesn't have to go outside and look for something to clean. He's got what it takes inside. But you know, a dove is very timid.
That's right.
A lamb is very timid. Lamb won't drink by water that's rippling.
That's right.
As Brother Daniel was showing, they can't have water rippling down through. They come, have to take stones and put out there, put something out there so that the water can get inside this little channel or this little area there, but the water would be calm even though it was rippling out there. The shepherd knows how to bring that water to him so that sheep will be able to drink. But you know, a sheep can't drink, and why? Because he's nervous. He's timid. The doves are timid, but that's how God represented us. That's how he represented his Holy Spirit, was this dove that would be timid, that you could easily scare it away. But this morning, we want to humble ourselves and make that dove feel like he's welcome to come back.
That's right.
It always bothers me when I'm driving down the road or I come out of the house, we got a bird feeder outside, and it absolutely hurts in my heart every time I open the door and there's doves there and they fly away because I've scared them away. Or I'm driving down the road and there's some in the road and they have to fly away. And I say this often, Lord, I don't want to do that. I do not want to cause your Holy Spirit to fly away from us. Because you want to conduct yourself in such a way that he stays with us. That dove, Brother Branham said, that dove, if he was to eat some of those things that the rest of the crows and things can eat, it will make him sick. And Satan wants to make you think that every time you make a mistake and something convicts you, he wants to tell you you're not a Christian. But you look back at him and say, that's the dove in me that's getting sick whenever I taste of something of the world. That's something in me telling me, don't eat that diet.
That's right.
Now go with it. Go with that hunger inside that says, I can't eat that because it makes me feel bad. It makes me weak. It gives me a stomach ache, and so forth. Follow after the nature of that dove that's inside there, who wants peace, doesn't like arguments, wants to be in fellowship around the Word, and you see what I'm saying? And will not eat of the things of the world. So he gives you that experience for a reason. You know, we have these things right here, and even though this, we call this, and it would be considered PPE, personal protective equipment, even though this is really made to protect you, not me, what they say. But the idea is that we're in an environment that would be harmful, and is to come up with something you can put on that will protect you so that you can be in the hostile environment and not be hurt. We have all kinds of PPE at work where I work.
Yeah.
And that's the whole purpose is to, you know, you don't spend money on safety glasses and on masks and gloves and all that for naught. You spend the money on those things because those are things you need to protect you in the environment you're in.
That's right.
What about the helmet of salvation?
Yes. Yeah.
You put the helmet on to protect you, and God gave us the helmet of salvation. He gave us all those things, but he gave that so that you could be protected from the environment that you're in.
Yes.
And if you try to go without that helmet of salvation, Satan's going to strike you with his thoughts. He will run you all over creation with the thoughts he puts in your head.
That's right.
You've got to clothe yourself with the promises of God,
yes,
the Word of God. Put that helmet on that says, I belong to him.
Amen.
Amen. And you'll find out, if you'll just come to the obedience of that, many of these battles that you find will go away. Mm-hmm. Because Satan ain't got nothing to work with.
Yeah.
Amen. We believe that. You know, an astronaut, they put that suit. He was talking about an astronaut's helmet. But they take that suit and they put it on an astronaut. And that's a major form of personal protective equipment.
Yep.
Because there's no air and there's all, who knows what's out there. Even outside of the space station, that when the sun's shining on you, it's so hot it'd burn you up. And then when the sun's gone, you'd freeze. Because it's real extreme out there. But they put that suit on. And that suit cost millions upon millions of dollars. A man's wearing a suit, one suit, and it's millions upon millions of dollars that's in that suit, because it's made just right to protect you in the environment that they want that astronaut to be in.
That's right.
What would God provide for you?
Yes.
That you could survive in the environment that he puts you in.
Yep.
What kind of investment would he make in that kind of suit,
uh-huh,
so that you could be protected? Think about it.
Yep.
If man could create a suit that would make it to where a guy could go into space and not be harmed, what would God do?
Yep.
with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot better job than what NASA could do.
Yeah.
Amen. So we just thank the Lord for these things we heard this morning. Go out to the believer's testimony and listen to some of those things out there. Brother Bishop's testimonies out there. There's a bunch of them. But you want to be lifted up? Just go listen to what God has done. And you'll find out that that channel is a testimony that there is another book of Acts. Another book of Acts. Another chapter being added right now.